to get those turned in. So by the end of September, hopefully we'll have a good count of what our New Faith Promise missions giving offering will be for the year. And we're going to speak on the subject of giving here again this afternoon. And we're going to look at verse 10 through 19 of Philippians chapter 4 and consider this subject, faithful giving and a faithful God. Faithful giving and a faithful God. Look in beginning in verse 10. Paul says here, "I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, and to both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have done well done, that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound, I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." Again, I want to speak on the subject of giving, especially in regards to our faith promise giving, and we'll be handing those cards out next week. But we're going to consider this faithful giving and a faithful God. Verse 19 of Philippians 4 is probably one of the most well-known and favorite quoted verses in the Bible. "My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." It is a comforting promise that is given here, that God would supply our needs according to his riches and glory. But most people claim this verse in just about any situation that they find themselves in, where they feel like they're lacking. "But my God shall supply all your need." But the context of this verse, its application is very, very specific. Because you can't divorce verse 19 from what goes before it. And this statement was given to people who had faithfully and generously given, that Paul has said, "My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory." The whole of the context here is really a thank you note that the Apostle Paul is writing to the church in Philippi, people who had given sacrificially to meet his needs. And in it, he gives one of the most comforting promises that there is in the Word of God. And I'm simply saying that this verse is not to be necessarily to be used in any and all situations, but if we meet the same conditions in which Paul gave it to this church at Philippi, I think giving faithfully to the work of the Lord, we can expect that same promise from the Lord ourselves. And so I want to talk about faithful giving. What is faithful giving? Well, there's lots of principles in the Bible, but there are some particular ones found in this text. There are four that I'd like for us to examine here this afternoon, and I'll try to go quickly through this text. Some principles concerning faithful giving. Number one, faithful giving should be one of the very first things that we establish in our Christian life. Paul says to the church here in verse 15, "Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity." Faithful giving should be one of the very first things that is established in our Christian life. Paul commends the Philippian church by reminding them of how at the very first preaching of the gospel, after he departed from their region, which was Macedonia, they shared with him in the matter of giving and receiving. At that point, they were the only church, apparently, that took the initiative to send support to Paul. Even when he was still in Macedonia at Thessalonica, more than once they sent unto his need. While Paul was preaching the gospel in Thessalonica, later on, Paul wrote back to the church at Thessalonica, and he reminded them how that when he was with them, he had to work with his own hands to provide for his needs. But during that time, the church at Philippi was sending to support the Apostle Paul and meet his needs. Their support may not have been enough, obviously, to provide that full support. But nonetheless, they were giving. And Paul taught right from the very start that it was proper for a man who labors in the gospel to receive his support from the gospel. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Just hold your place here. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And look at verse 13. Do you not know that they which minister about holy things live of the things of the temple, and they which wait at the altar are partakers with the altar? Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. So here Paul is teaching this same principle to the church at Corinth. Go over to 1 Timothy chapter 5. Again, hold your place in Philippians, but look at 1 Timothy chapter 5. In verse 17, Paul writes to Timothy saying, "Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. For the Scripture saith, Thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward." And so Paul's teaching this to the same principle to Timothy, who is to teach others also as well. And so Paul, right from the very start, was indicating here that the church in Philippi had given once and again to his necessity. Paul must have taught this same truth to the Philippian church early on, the importance of faithful giving to support the work of the ministry for the gospel's sake. Because the Bible says, it indicates to us, as soon as he left town, they sent unto his needs. This church was not very old in the Lord at all, but they were already practicing faithful giving. And the principle, again, is that faithful giving should be one of the very first things that we establish in the Christian life. And let me make four applications here. Why giving is so important for you and for me, because we need to take this principle and we need to apply it in our own life. Why is giving so important? Why should it be one of the very first things that is established in the Christian life? Well, reason number one is this, because giving, our giving, demonstrates our love for the Lord. The Bible says in John chapter 3 and verse 16 that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. God is a giver Himself. God gives us physical life. God daily loadeth us with benefits, the Bible says. And more importantly, beyond those physical things, God gave us of His Son that we might have spiritual life. And John 3:16 shows us the direct connection between loving and giving. Giving, my giving to the Lord demonstrates my love for Him. You can give without loving, but I don't think that you can really love without giving. Love requires sacrifice. When you love someone, how do you demonstrate the love? What's the proof of the love? My giving, my sacrifice, giving to another. And our giving demonstrates our love for the Lord in the same way, in the same aspect. God has given me so much. God's given me physical benefits, certainly. More importantly, He's given me eternal life. I love Him for what He's done for me. And so when we faithfully give, it demonstrates our love for the Lord in return. Reason number two, our giving will draw us closer to the Lord. Matthew 6:21 says, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." You know what? Where I put my money, where I put my time, where I put my efforts, where I put my thinking, where I invest my life, that's where my heart will be. And so the question is, where do I want my heart to be? Amen? Where do I want my heart to be? Well, giving will draw us closer to the Lord. Lord, I love you for what you've given to me. Lord, I want to give in return. I want my life to count for you. I want what's important to you to be important to me. Reason number three, giving will strengthen our faith. Giving will strengthen our faith. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10 says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruit of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. God says to bring the tithes into the storehouse so that there's plenty, so that the work of the Lord can move forward and so on. And God says, prove me, test me, try me, see if I won't open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. God also promises in that faithful giving that he's going to rebuke the devourer for your sake. Giving will strengthen our faith, because giving the way that God gives and the way that he wants us to give, it goes beyond our budgeting. It goes beyond our ability to, you know, manipulate and to manage and so on. Giving the way that God wants us to give requires faith. And it tests whether or not we really believe the Word of God is true. Because in those times when it's difficult, and in those times when it's like, oh, I've got all these things, and you're looking at all the circumstances and managing, it tests whether or not, you know what, I really believe what God said, that he's going to supply, he's going to meet my need, and I want to be faithful to the Lord, and I want to obey the Lord, and I'm going to faithfully give, even in spite of whatever this situation might be, and I'm going to trust the Lord that he's going to provide, because he said he would. That's a step of faith. And so it strengthens our faith. And the fourth reason is that giving reveals my spiritual maturity. Giving reveals my spiritual maturity. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 7 says, therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. When Paul says to the church at Corinth, abound in this grace also, it's in the context of giving. It's regarding the gift that they had promised to give to the offering of for the poor saints in Jerusalem and Judea. They had promised a while ago to give those things. And Paul says, you abound in faith and utterance and in knowledge and all of these things, and you abound in your love. Make sure that you abound in this grace of giving as well. Giving reveals my spiritual maturity. Ultimately, giving is more about my spiritual maturity than it is what I actually give. It's not about the amount that I give. Our finances so often are the last part of our personal life that we release and trust to the Lord. Most times, many people at least, and I can't speak for everyone obviously, but many people hold on to their money or their wealth as a form of security. And their trust isn't really in the Lord. Their trust is what they have in their bank account as far as how they feel secure or not. Giving is an exercise of learning to trust in God, and it reveals to us the truth of our spiritual maturity. Am I going to trust the Lord? Am I going to walk by faith? Am I going to really believe what God has already promised and what God has already said? Do I really love the Lord? And so, giving is important on many levels. It's one of the very first things that should be established in our Christian life. It shows our love for the Lord. It will draw us closer to the Lord. It strengthens our faith, and it helps us to grow in spiritual maturity. Secondly, faithful giving should be focused on the furtherance of the gospel. Why do we give faithfully? Why should we? Well, it ought to be focused on the furtherance of the gospel because Paul says in verse 15, "Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only." Paul was preaching the gospel. And he said to the church at Corinth, remember, we talked about this last week, when your faith is increased, he would be enlarged by them and be able to preach the gospel in the regions beyond. Paul's focus was on preaching the gospel, not on his need for money. That's not the reason that Paul was commending the church for supplying because of his need for money. His focus was on the gospel. And Paul was writing this thank you note to the church at Philippi. He appreciated the gift, but he was more excited about what it signified about their heart for God and the work of the Lord and the fruit that would abound to their account. He said, "Not because I desire a gift, but I desire that fruit may abound to your account." So, as for Paul, he said that he lived by faith. He was content with what God has provided. You can look at the verses prior to this that shows that Paul's focus was not on money, but it was on the furtherance of the gospel. In verse 11, he said, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I'm instructed, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." Paul's focus wasn't on the money or the need. His focus was on the gospel, and he was rejoicing, and his desire was that fruit would abound to their account. So, this applies on a couple of levels. It applies when it comes to our tithes. The tithes need to come in for the ministries of the church. Our mission as a church is to preach the gospel according to what Jesus told us to do. It applies to our faith promise giving because our faith promise giving directly goes to the support of those that are preaching the gospel. So faithful giving, the motive behind it is to love the Lord, and the purpose behind it or the focus behind it ought to be the furtherance of the gospel. The third principle, faithful giving is an investment into eternity. It should be one of the very first things that we develop in our Christian life. It should be focused on the furtherance of the gospel, but it's also an investment into eternity. Because Paul says in verse 17, the second part of it, he says, "I desire fruit that may abound to your account." Paul says, "I'm looking for the profit that increases to your account." These terms were common accounting words, and Paul's saying that when you give to the Lord's work, you're contributing into your account in the bank of heaven. God is keeping track. And so when we invest in God's work, when we give faithfully, when we give even beyond maybe what we, you know, think we could manage, but we ask the Lord by faith, "Lord, lay this on my heart. I want to give to you. I'm going to trust you to supply." When we invest like that, you know what? There's no risk. There's no risk involved. You get the highest possible return on your investment because it's guaranteed by the very word of God. Paul says this fruit is abounding to your account, and God is the one who's keeping track. By giving to the work of the Lord, we are investing in souls for eternity, and we labor together with the Lord in the work in this regard. And I'm glad that God is keeping track. It's not a risk. So faithful giving should be focused on the gospel. It should be one of the very first things that's established in our Christian life. And it's an investment into eternity. And fourthly, faithful giving should be motivated by our worship unto the Lord. Paul says in verse 18, "But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Their giving was a sacrifice to the Lord. It was accepted of God. It was well-pleasing unto the Lord. Paul calls their giving a fragrant aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, something that pleases God. These terms that Paul is using here come from the Old Testament, where they describe the sacrifices that the worshipers offered up to God. These terms are also used in the New Testament to describe the Lord Jesus Christ and His offering of Himself for our sins. Look at Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 2. And walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us and hath given Himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. The Lord Jesus' sacrifice of Himself was something that was pleasing to the Lord. It was a fragrant aroma to the Lord. The sacrifices of the Old Testament that the worshipers gave were described as something that was acceptable, well-pleasing, and a fragrant aroma to the Lord. And the point is, when we give, according to what Paul says here in our text, when the church at Philippi had given, he said that the things that were sent from you, this gift, how you met my need, you gave once and again to my necessity, the things which were sent from you, it's an odor of a sweet smell. It's a sacrifice acceptable. It's something that pleases the Lord. And the point is, listen, you, when we give, you're not giving to the pastor. You're not even giving to the church, per se. We aren't giving our tithes to the missionary. We're really giving to God Himself for the work of the Lord. And the heart attitude with which the Philippians gave was something that pleased God. Who in here would say that you don't want to be pleasing to the Lord? No one would. And Paul makes the point that their attitude of giving and their heart for giving was something that was well-pleasing to the Lord. And our giving should be motivated by worship unto God. Lord, I want to honor You. I want to give to You. I want You to be pleased. I think I've probably said this before, but if Jesus were to bodily walk into this church, if He was the usher who was passing the plate around, I wonder how our attitude toward giving would change. It's a legitimate question to ask. Do I give gratefully out of a heart of love and worship because of what the Lord's done for me? And so the principles that we glean are that we are to give faithfully to the Lord's work for the furtherance of the gospel, out of a heart of worship to the Lord who gave Himself for us. And if we do, if this is how we give, then there's a promise from the Lord. Verse 19, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I want to consider the promise from our faithful God. Faithful giving and a faithful God. Faithful givers can count on the faithfulness of the Lord to supply. My God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. That is a great promise. Amen. Number one, consider the source and the certainty of the promise. Paul says it was my God. Who's the source and who's the certainty of the promise? My God, who is also my Father. Verse 20, Paul says, now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. You know what? Our Father knows us. He loves us. He promises to care for us. He's the source. He's also a God of all power. The very God who spoke the universe into existence, who promises to supply our need when we give faithfully. He's a God who cannot lie. He's my God. He's my Father. He's the one that I know personally. God has never, in human history, ever failed His children. And He's the God who proved His great love for us when He gave us of His Son. Romans 8:32 says, "He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things?" The promise is certain because God is the one who gave it, and we can count on it. And the certainty of that promise, it doesn't depend on me, but it depends on God Himself. And all we need to do is trust Him. Secondly, consider the sufficiency of the promise. Not only was God the one who promised it, but He said, Paul says, "My God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus." What is the sufficiency of the promise? That there's nothing that He will not provide. We're not going to lack. Every need He will supply. Does that mean that we won't ever experience a shortfall of income at some point? No, that's not what that means. It's not a prosperity gospel that He's giving here. But God knows what our needs are. God knows what He's doing in our life, and He promised to supply all of our need. We're not going to be forsaken of the Lord. We're not going to lack. Every need He will supply. There's a faithful God who always comes through when we faithfully respond to Him. There's probably no more accurate gauge of our spiritual life than when it comes to our giving to the Lord's work. Just a few questions as we close this afternoon that I want you to ask yourself. I'm asking myself too. Number one, you paying attention? You listening? Focus in here. Ask yourself the question, do I give only grudgingly or under pressure? Oh, I know I need to tithe. Or, oh, boy, faith promise. Probably need to come up with something. Do I give only grudgingly or under pressure? If that's you know your own heart when it comes time to giving. If that's true, then you're not focused on the abundant grace of God in your life. Because God has promised to meet the need. But we ought to have a heart of obedience and love for the Lord. Here's another question. Am I hit and miss about giving? Maybe I do it once in a while, but not systematically. Only you know, but the Lord knows too. Am I hit and miss about giving? Do it once in a while, but not systematically. If that's true, then it's also probably likely that you're not very faithful in other areas of your Christian life either. Here's a third question. Am I stingy and tight with giving? Not generously, not of a cheerful heart, because I have to. It might be, if that's the case, it might be that there's some coldness and sterility to my love for the Lord too. Here's a fourth question, because people can give, and they can give a lot. People can give religiously, systematically, but sometimes people can take pride in what they give too. Like the Pharisee, "I give tithes of all that I possess," and so on. Do I give, but I take pride in it? Well, that's not the right heart motive either. because the Pharisees were more concerned about the performance of their certain duties rather than motivated by a heart of love for the Savior. The reason giving is a pretty good gauge of our spiritual life is that our heart is directly tied to our treasure. And Jesus said, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. This is why giving is a pretty good gauge of our spiritual life. Some people may ask, and I've actually had this asked of me by a young Christian at one point. He said, well, what if I give, but then some unexpected emergency comes up and I don't have what I need to meet that need? Or what if I give and I promise this to the Lord, but then I lose my job? You know, those are legitimate questions, and certainly an immature believer would actually have a right to ask the question, because there's a teaching moment here. But there's a story of a guy that kind of illustrates the truth of where our heart and where our focus needs to be, where our faith needs to be. And the story is of this fellow who was struggling with the idea of giving of his income to the church. You know, I made this money, I worked hard for it, why should I give it to the church? And he went to the pastor one day and he said to him, I don't really see how I can give all of this and still keep up with all of my bills. And the pastor replied to him, he says, well, friend, if I promise to make up the difference in your bills if you fall short, do you think you could maybe try tithing for 1 month? After thinking about it for a few minutes, the man replied, well, I suppose if you promise to make up the shortage, I guess I can try tithing for a month. Well, the pastor looked at the man and he said, what do you think of that? The man said, well, what do you mean? The pastor said, well, you said that you'd be willing to put your trust in me, a mere man, who possesses so very little materially, but you can't trust your heavenly Father who owns the whole universe to meet your need? That's the issue, really, at the heart of faithful giving. Who do I trust? My faith in the Lord. Do we really trust the living God who gave us His Son? Do we really trust Him by giving generously and systematically out of a heart of gratitude and love and worship for the Lord? Well, when we do, and that's the heart with which we give, God is going to meet our needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. He already promised He would never leave us nor forsake us. And Paul wrote to this church at Philippi, he said, thank you for the gift. I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. He said, I trust in the Lord, but I want to say thank you for the gift, because the sacrifice with which you gave was something that was well-pleasing to God. And no church communicated with me concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. And Paul said, I want fruit to abound to your account. And then he said, my God shall supply all your need. Faithful giving, a faithful God. We can always trust Him. Amen. The prayer is that we'd have a heart for the gospel, that our faith would increase, that we'd have the ability to reach farther with the gospel of Jesus Christ because of our faithful giving and trust in the Lord to provide and meet those needs. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your promises, for your word. It's true. Lord, I pray that we'd be a people that would have a heart for the gospel and to faithfully and systematically give for the furtherance of the gospel, that we might support more evangelists, that we might have opportunity to invest into the souls of men for eternity. And Lord, because we love you and we want the things that are important to you to be important to us. So Lord, I pray that you'd increase our faith, and Lord, that we'd have a heart for giving, so that the work of the Lord may continue and move forward, and the gospel can go to the regions beyond. Thank you, Lord, for the faithfulness of your people who give already. But Lord, I pray that you'd increase our faith, and Lord, we'll trust you to supply. In Jesus' name, amen.